8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
And live from our national studios here in Accra, networking with all our regional FM stations and across the globe on gbcghana.com, we say welcome once again to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program, where we will be speaking to the newsmakers and the experts. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, President Mama meets with striking teacher groups. Is there light at the end of the tunnel? What are the teachers saying? And after debating from different sides of the house, former members of parliament get together to pursue the common agenda. How smooth can that be? What lessons are there for sitting MPs? We'll be delving deeper into these issues. Behind the News, you are live on Radio BAR and also live on Volta Star Radio. They flexed their muscles, they shouted from the rooftop, and now they have been listened to. Barely a week after embarking on strike with several attempts by various stakeholders to persuade them to get back to the classroom proved futile, the President, John Mahama, today summoned the teachers' groups to the Flagstaff House to listen to their concerns and to appeal to them to get back to the classroom. The meeting, also attended by the TUC and the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, has been described as fruitful, and the various teacher groups are saying they are going to communicate what transpired at the meeting to their members and take a final decision. But there are outstanding concerns. Are the teachers calling off their strike after the President has granted them audience? Well, we'll be speaking to some of the stakeholders here, but before then, we want to listen to what the President had to say.
The industrial action embarked upon by the teachers unions have worried everybody in this country, more so myself as the chief executive, and I have continued to appeal to the teachers, you know, to go back to the classroom. Every year we recruit new teachers, you wait for returns from the district for you to be able to process and put them on the payroll, and sometimes you hear that for 6 months newly recruited teachers haven't been paid. These all go to efficiency of the public sector, and all of us must work to ensure that the work for which we're put in place and paid for, we do so that we don't find ourselves in this kind of situation. But I'm happy that the unions, together with the ministry and the Trade Union Congress, following discussions, have been able to come out with this communique. My understanding is that the unions will go back to their councils and go and consult, but I want to reiterate the appeal on behalf of government and on behalf of the people of Ghana that the strike action is called off, and that the issues that are on the table for negotiation, the parties come together, sit and negotiate these issues so that we can come to an amicable settlement and have a win-win situation.
Well, President Mama, after the meeting, but we have now joining us on the line Peter Lumo, the national chairman of Teachers and Educational Workers Union. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
You met your friends, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, there. How did they talk about the whole event?
We met the president.
Mm-hmm. Did the Fair Wages not say anything?
The Fair Wages and Salaries Commission were present.
Uh-huh.
That forum was not for negotiation.
Mm-hmm. So you'll be going back to them?
The president made an appeal to the unions in the Ghana Education Service to call off their strike and go back to the negotiation table for negotiations to continue.
So you are prepared to go back?
We have always said this, that the bodies that matter, if they call us to the table and show their goodwill to negotiate. Why? We are trade union. We will sit down and negotiate. So the unions in the GES are prepared to go to the table to negotiate, provided the other side is prepared to negotiate. Why not?
So how soon?
Hello?
Hello. We're asking how soon you'll be going back to your membership or to your council to consult and take a decision.
We until we'll meet our councils on Wednesday. We'll meet our council on Wednesday.
How would you describe the general atmosphere in the meeting?
I think it was cordial.
Mm-hmm.
For us, until at least one thing that I said over there, I listened to the president very carefully. And when the president was talking, he didn't talk about poly teachers. He talked about teachers and non-teachers. So at least he recognizes that in the GES, they are teachers and they are non-teachers in the Ghana Education Service, at least for me. I told that meeting. I was happy the president recognized that.
Mm-hmm. So all along, you think you've been left behind when considering the issues of teachers?
That has been our complaints from the beginning. And at this meeting, we repeated the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, look, when you are talking about GES, it is not only teachers that are in the Ghana Education Service. We have the non-teaching staff also who plays critical role in education delivery in the Ghana Education Service.
Uh-huh.
And everybody must recognize that. So you are solving problems in the Ghana Education Service. You must look at the other side. Does it affect non-teaching staff? It affects them, address them. We will not have these problems that we are having.
Yeah. So, Mr. Lumo, I think from the spirit with which you are even talking shows that you are prepared to go back immediately. Would you be calling your members to start doing something in the interim as you prepare for your council meetings because all the parties are prepared to sit and negotiate now?
Well, we told the president that we must go back. We have to go back to our council.
Mm-hmm.
We have structures. And we must go through those structures to discuss, tell them his appeal, and we'll find a way forward.
Well, we want to thank you very much for your time, but we'd please like you to hold on for a moment with us. We have on the other line El Ankra, Head of Public Affairs, Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. El, you are welcome. I'm getting the signals that we don't have him on the line now. But coming back to you, Mr. Lumo, there are several concerns that you wanted to table the last time we spoke. Because of time, we're not able to go deeper. But for you, what is the key of the concerns that you have that you think should be looked at?
Well, it's the same issues that other groups are raising. The issue of non-implementation of conditional service, incremental job, care maintenance, what have you, and so on. Those are issues that affect civil members also. Right. We were at the Labour Commission on Friday. GES manager was present. The Fair Wages was not present. But the Labour Commission gave certain directives that we should go back to the table to negotiate the issues and report by Friday. Right. Today, we told some GES management personnel that, look, we have not been called to the table to start talking about, how do you call it, the issues. Right. So our concern as civil members in the Ghana Education Service is that when you are addressing issues in the Ghana Education Service, you must realize that it is not only teachers. The non-teaching staff also are there. They also play critical roles. I told the president at this meeting that, look, yes, teachers are not there. People have declared a strike. But people are pleading with matrons, cooks, and what have you, and so on, that at least, you must let the children eat. Those who are cooking for the children to at least eat. They are not NAP or NAGRAT members or concerned teachers. They are TEU members who are cooking for the students to eat at least to survive till these issues are resolved.
They will still continue with their work.
Hello.
Hello. I'm asking, all these ones will continue with their work as you get back to...
Actually.
It's unfortunate, but we'll try to get back to you on a better line as we see. But the TUC was there. We want to listen to the Secretary General of the Trades Union Congress, Ghana Trades Union Congress, Kofi Asamoah, on what he had to say about it. You are still live on Behind the News.
Many Ghanaians have all expressed out the strike action, creating the timing of the action, creating an impression sometimes to the extent that teachers and those on strike are quite insensitive to the plight of those they teach. We thought that it's important that as the father of the country, even though consultations and negotiations have been going on, we draw your attention to some important factors that really underscores most of the labor relations issues that we have in this country. Sometimes issues that really needed a very prompt attention, not giving the attention that it really needed. Institutions and individuals who have the mandate to resolve such issues when they crop up do not do so until it generated to a level where there is strife. And when it gets to that level, almost always creating an impression that it's only when workers are on strike that we quickly try to resolve matters arising out of the dispute. We have various occasions come to the conclusion that if the various institutions and the individuals concerned were really proactive, issues like promotions, issues like normal administrative things within the sector shouldn't have gotten to where there is a strike action. It brings out strongly the issue of perhaps whether the various agencies within the public sector are really competent enough to handle human resource issues. It brings to mind that we may have to build the capacity of human resource in the various agencies and public sector organizations so that they can deal with issues arising out of workers' problems. Because from the standpoint of organized labor, having also been concerned about our colleagues' involvement in the strike, realize that the issues, if they were to have been given the attention that it deserves, would not have really gotten to this level.
That's the Secretary General of the Ghana Trades Union Congress, Kofi Asamoah, on the line there. We had him earlier. You are still live on Behind the News. We arranged to speak to other members, other leaders of the teacher unions, but it's been quite difficult trying to raise them on the line. But as technology permits, we will still be trying to speak to the head of public affairs at the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, L. Ankra. You are live on Behind the News, and now we want to move on. You might know these ones so well because they were very vocal when they were in Parliament. Now they are out of the House, and you'll be asking what they are doing. Well, observers may see them as seemingly opposed to each other and never divided on issues, yet they believe that total cooperation is important if the country can advance its development agenda. Out of Parliament, however, how can they meet their ideals if it was daunting when they were lawmakers? The Forum of Former Members of Parliament believe that they hold part of the solution to the challenges the country is confronted with. But the question is, how? We are joined in the studio by Kwesi Kedem, President of the Forum, and also BDK Edu, Vice President of the same Forum. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you.
It's not balanced. Does that mean we don't have a former female MPs?
We have.
Where are they?
We have, but today is not their day.
Today is not their day. I so see.
The President and the Vice are here to represent everybody.
To represent all of them.
Yeah. That's why we don't discriminate. So when we speak both for men and women.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
That's good. We're just on the teachers' issue. We've not finished everything yet in relation to the teachers.
Mm.
But you've issued a statement on the strikes,
not
only about the teachers, but about generally people resorting to strike every now and then.
Mm.
What is your main concern about this?
Well, our main concern is that workers have a right, just as they have duties and responsibilities. Those rights and responsibilities, duties, and obligations should be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if workers have a problem, they should resort to the laid-down procedure. I think that's what we are asking for.
Yeah, asking for.
And then government should also not bring in unnecessary bureaucracy to deny the workers their rights.
It raised this concern, and we just heard from the Secretary General of the GTUC talking about the fact that sometimes it appears there are so many delays, and for some of the teachers or those who embark on strike, they think they are ahead the moment they embark on strike, and everybody, it's true too, everybody will take up the issue immediately, and people will start apportioning blame, others will start pushing, why are they not being heard and all. Do you think it's becoming a culture that is taking root, or it's already even taking root? So people think the moment you resort to that, that is when you get the necessary attention.
No, I'll come in here.
Yes, Mr. Eddie.
The problem is, you know, just as my president said, government doesn't listen and act promptly.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And if you wait till the beans spelt, then problems. Mm-hmm. You see, we issued a statement on this strike because we are highly concerned for our nation.
Mm-hmm.
Eh? And our prime objective is to see our country develop and develop quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah. So, but, you know, you've been in existence for some time.
Sure.
How many years?
Since 2008.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could you not have been a moderating voice because you have expertise cutting across your membership within some of these things, acting immediately as mediators before you even get them, getting to an extent where it can create problems for everybody?
Well, some of these things, you have to be well informed.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to be meaningful and useful in mediation,
yeah,
you have to be well acquainted with the problem that persists.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are not well informed and you want to intervene, mm-hmm, you worsen the case, the situation. So we have been following this event, and we have now come out because we have some insight into what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But previously, I don't think we have the capacity and then the wherewithal to intervene in the situation.
So
now we are prepared for it.
Yes.
You are prepared.
Yes.
So from your insights, what have you discovered that you think should be out in the public domain now based on what the Forum for Former Members of Parliament discovered?
No, we have realized that the implementation of the single spine system have brought a lot of problems. Some people may call them challenges.
Yeah.
And if we are dealing with a varied number of workers' organizations, each has its own interests and peculiarities,
mm-hmm,
you see, then definitely these sort of challenges will come about. Now, but I don't think the migration of the workers onto the single pie is the main problem.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Secretariat, about 99% of them have been migrated.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the ancillary subject like allowances and placement and things like that that have to be ironed out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has been the main, that is the main problem we confront the single pie implementation.
Yeah.
So I think they are trying to handle that.
Okay.
But you know, the problem with bureaucracy everywhere is that it slows down process instead of accelerating it. So what we are saying is that government should try to oil the wheel of bureaucracy so that it can help the workers to achieve their objectives.
Let me listen to you, then we'll go to the line.
What I want to say about this is that this thing didn't happen yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
These strikes, teacher strikes, have been on and on and on. And what has government done about it? Right?
Mm-hmm.
He talked about bureaucracy. And that is what destroys everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the bull must be, you know,
by the horns. Mr. Edu, we'll come back to you in the studio, but let me remind our listeners that we are using the text line 026-301-7882, and you are live on Twin City Radio in Sekendi Takoradi and also on Ura Radio. We want to go quickly to the line and speak to El Ankra. El Ankra is the head of Public Affairs, Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, is joining us now. El, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. Good evening.
Good evening. Where are we with the negotiations with all the teacher groups? You should be sitting with them.
Well, that's really a proactive position. Yes, we should be sitting with them. We were sitting with them. We were sitting with them prior to the embarking on strike. That was as far back as a couple of weeks ago. So with that Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, it was a total surprise to us that they went on strike. In any case, we were invited to the Labour Commission on Monday. they listened to all sides and decided we should get back to that discussion table and directed that the teachers return to the classroom. We met them again on Wednesday, Labor Commission. They gave the same direction. And we met the teachers around Friday. Was it on Friday? Yes. Along with the Ghana Education Service and all the stakeholders. And we came down with a communique that directed us all to get back to the table, discuss issues on the table, and for the teachers to return to the classroom. So, yeah, we've been involved in this. There's never been a time when we, as Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, broke off. No.
We don't like going back, but to retrace a little bit so that when moving forward, we know our way is clear. Tewu has not been quite happy, and in fact, they even accused us of being like Fair Wages the other time. That shows that they were not so happy because we've not treated them fairly. Is it true that Fair Wages had not been fair to Tewu?
The issue of Tewu is not complex at all. It's not difficult to understand. Tewu brought some issues. We have to retention premium, issues concerning retention premium. And those retention premiums are supposed to go to specific skills within Tewu. We give them, and they said we should consider two other skills. We said, okay, go find out what those skills are and bring them back to the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. They came back with 22 skills. Fair Wages will not honor that. I mean, it's a no-go area.
Normally, how many skills do you use?
No, we will get into the technicalities and all, but then the skills, there are certain skills within the teaching profession that we were supposed to give a retention premium to. So we had to bend around to find, to honor some of those skills for them. I don't really want to go into the details of mentioning who is what and who is who. Because the challenge of this particular thing is not about what to say, but what not to say out there in public. But then we have done what we are supposed to do for Tewu, and they keep coming back with the same thing. And if the moment we bend the rules of the single spine, it's going to have ripple effects all across the board. So, yeah, we've done what we are supposed to do for Tewu. They will come back 10 times with the same issues. We are going to give them the same answer 10 times over.
Yeah. Please, before we even proceed from there, don't you see that then Tewu has got a challenge, and maybe to make matters short and for everybody to be happy, you can assign someone to even assist them in doing the right things.
Well, they know it isn't as if some of these labor groups or leadership. That's the thing. Sometimes we speak and it's about teachers and all that, but it's just the leadership. They know the issues. They know the truth of the matter. But you can't go to your rank and file and promise them heaven and earth and come to Fair Wages with a gun on our head saying, fulfill the promises we have made. No, everything must work within the single spine structure, and that's how it's supposed to be.
So, in this case, you are waiting for them to make a presentation again.
We hope they don't bring back. Of course, the doors are open. They can bring up any concerns they have. But if it's about the same concerns, they are going to receive the same answers.
We earlier spoke to the president of Tewu, and he was talking about the fact that their concerns are just the same as what the teachers had presented. So it wasn't quite different. What is the remarkable change in what they brought that you think cannot be taken on, looking at the single spine?
Well, if they are really, really sure, if he said specifically that their concerns are the same as the concerns that and that, then we don't have a problem anymore. Then those issues are they going to discuss when we get back to the table. Then case closed. Then Tewu does not have the point anymore. And I'm happy to hear that their concerns are the same concerns as those of NAC that we've just addressed.
Yeah. So what is the most outstanding issues looking at the other unions, NAC and then NAGRAT?
Well, according to the communique we had, and I'm looking at it right now as I speak to you, the first item was the payment of car maintenance allowance. That's beyond Fair Wages and Salaries Commission in the sense that we have to know who, the way it works out. We have to know who qualifies for car maintenance allowance. There are procedures you have to follow. Who has a car registered in their name? And because you want to make sure it is not a friend's car that is you're bringing to pick up an allowance. And if the car is registered in your name and you pick up an allowance this month, we have to make sure that it is yours consistently, because maybe you could convert that car into a taxi and yet you'll be collecting allowances on that. There are rules to that. So payment of car allowance, they have to bring the figures, who qualifies and what position do they hold. I mean, there are a whole lot of things that have to be considered. That will have to be done by GES and brought to Services and Salaries Commission. Payment of yearly incremental credit is another issue on the table. Promotion of teachers also, beyond as it's with the employer. Retention premium and wide supervision and vigilance allowance. Now, most of these issues are not just Services and Salaries Commission. We need backup information to be able to come to conclusions on that. We are around the table. So it could be dicey in a way if you look at it as a whole stretch of things. But if you pay a critical attention to them individually, you realize that these are issues that do not merit strike actions at all.
So you believe that at one sitting, let's say at one sitting where everybody will decide to understand the issues, you can resolve the knotty points that are outstanding in the direction of Fair Wages and Salaries Commission?
In a sitting of less than 30 minutes, all these things can be resolved. We'll all take this juice, orange juice, and shake hands and move away. That is if everybody will agree that we are working within the single spine structure and must be handled in such a way that it doesn't have ripple effects all across board.
I put this question to your boss, Mr. Sneak Graham, when he was here, but you've also been in there, you've been interacting. Do you really believe that for those who have challenges, everybody understands right to the base what single spine stands for and what it can take and what it cannot accommodate?
And let me give you a man with a straight interpretation of the single spine structure. Before the fair wages came into being, salaries were being paid differently all over the place. Let's say you could have a secretary at Ghana Broadcasting Corporation taking 5 Ghana cedis at the end of the month. It's just an example. And you could have a secretary at another institution being paid by the same taxpayer taking maybe 15 Ghana cedis for the same job as a secretary. Now, the single spine is supposed to make sure there's equality, I mean, equity all over the place. So we will evaluate the job and find out what appropriate salary is supposed to go for that skill. If after evaluating the job, we conclude that, a secretary must take 10 Ghana cedis. Whoever was taking 5 cedis will be brought up to 10 Ghana cedis. But whoever was taking 15 cedis cannot be brought down to 10 cedis because according to ILO laws, no one must be made worse off. And the single spine adopts that. So that extra five cedis will be known as conversion difference. And whoever was taking 15 will hold on to that 15 until the one taking 10 Ghana cedis will catch up with the person. It's about equity, equal pay for work of equal value. That is the simple explanation of the salary structure. So if one group comes in saying, we are going to... So the bottom line is there are factors we consider that go into the job evaluation, and after those factors have been considered, we find out what salaries are supposed to be paid for those skills. Now, those factors do not include strike actions. It doesn't say when the person goes on strike for 1 week, this is how much percentage you must put on it, or for two weeks or 1 month, this is how much. It doesn't say that. So strike, we are blind to strike action. The single spine structure is blind to those things. Now, when you have a misunderstanding, you bring it to the Grievance Review Committee. If you are not satisfied, you take it up to the National Labour Commission. And if you're not satisfied, you can go further than that. It is the laws of this country that are made to operate.
Yeah. So, Elle, when have you chosen as the meeting time or the date?
Well, the communique did not specify, but at the point, the way it is, we are supposed to meet as soon as possible, but we cannot negotiate when they are on strike. It is beyond the spirit of negotiations, and the laws of this country and international labor laws frown on that. Having negotiations or discussions of any kind whilst a group is on strike is like a gun on your head. We are going to get 100% whatever we want, otherwise we will not go back to work. It is frowned upon by the laws of this country. So if Fair Wages and Salary Commission does not abide by that law, we will be breaking the law. So they will have to. I'm happy to hear that they are considering getting back to the classroom, and then that means we will get back to the discussion table.
So until they return to the classroom or whatever they are doing, it will be difficult for you to meet with them. El, I want to thank you very much for your time tonight.
Hello.
Hello, El. That's unfortunate. We lost him, but that's about it for now. El Ankrah is the head of Public Affairs, Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, and it's just about the same issues. Mm-hmm. They say you don't hold a gun to the head of the one you want to negotiate with. You don't embark on strike and then expect to be spoken to. You start work and then you talk. Honorable, for parliamentarians, sometimes it's good to sit outside before you start talking.
Let's face facts. This single power concept mm-hmm. is good for everybody, especially for workers. But some of us think sincerely that in its implementation, government seems to have taken on more than it could afford. Can you imagine the salary portfolio of public servants jumping from 2 billion to 7 billion? And I doubt whether government had actually sat down to budget for this. So where did they get the money from to pay for this balance from 2 billion to 7 billion?
Mm-hmm. So you think that is where the challenge is?
It's a very serious challenge. And probably government should have done it in phases, not as rapidly as it has completely affected the economy.
It's something that could have been expanded to cover 10 years for effective implementation.
But the way it was implemented...
Where lies the fault?
Well, we are not looking for the
workers
fault.
Workers are
now
in a hurry.
But Mr. Medeta, if you wouldn't mind, mm-hmm. can we talk about the former members?
Because we'll certainly get to it.
Because this issue is an aside.
Yes.
And we are not fully prepared for it. So let's talk about the
I'm
forum.
I'm very happy you are bringing it up because many people would like to hear you are a moderating voice.
Sure.
It becomes stronger when you are involved in some of these things.
What I want to say about this is that there should be compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no entrenched positions. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't help anybody. It wouldn't help the country. All of us suffer when teachers don't go back to the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody, our children, will not get the right education we want.
Yeah.
Right? So ours is a plea. We are pleading as a forum of former parliamentarians to teachers, please, 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 you go back to the classrooms, for God's sake.
That is the humble appeal coming from Mr. BDK Edu, a former member of parliament.
From the forum.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Mm. And let me pick this test and then we'll come to the forum really and see exactly how you are inputting into national development. Jensun Rashid from Y is saying, the president's response to the demand of NAT and NAGRAT should reflect positively, and the candidates should also be helped to get good results. And AU Farouk from Sangani Tamale, we thank President Mama for calling on the teacher unions to a roundtable discussion. This shows that the NDC government cares for all workers. And Aziz Dola says that if there are arrears outstanding, it should be paid to the teachers. And it's also pleading with the teachers to get back into the classroom so that they can negotiate fairly with Fair Wages and the other bodies. And Tata Mohammed in Kumasi Poly, this is a listening president appealing to striking workers on behalf of Ghanaians to call off their strike. Please, teachers, give a listening ear by calling off the strike. You are still live on Behind the News on Garden City Radio in Kumasi, and you are also live if you are somewhere in Kofodia on Sunrise FM and also on Radio Savannah in Tamale. I'm coming to you first. Well, in Parliament, it's a challenge for you to sometimes work together. And people will always expect that there will be a split, a gulf between the two sides. Out of Parliament, you've decided to work together as a forum. Honorable Kwesi Kedem, how is that possible?
Oh, it is possible because we are all Ghanaians. We are all patriotic Ghanaians who wants the good of the nation. We have the nation at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Our main objective is good governance and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Without these two factors, no nation can develop. And we have realized across the political divide that we need to work together in order to bring about good governance and peace. So we are at it. So far, we have succeeded.
You have succeeded?
Yeah.
Can we say that you have every person who has been a member of parliament before and is no more in parliament?
Not really. You see, in every society, you have three type of people. People who are interested in the action.
Mm-hmm.
People who sit on the fence. People who don't care. You see? I mean, the same thing characteristics that is shown in the forum.
Mm-hmm.
So there are active members of the forum. And those active members of the forum are doing just what the forum wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
There are those who are sitting on the fence. We are trying to bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
There are those who are just observers. They want us to succeed before they will come.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are coming.
Yeah.
So gradually, we are trying to bring in as many people as possible.
As possible. You referred to something in the history and civics book where the car was being pushed uphill and
exactly.
You have people sitting in and some pushing it even backwards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now that they've seen that we are getting somewhere, even those sitting on the fence, I'm not saying, oh, these people, they are doing what we want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they are coming on.
Yes.
Those observers who were cynics and thought that the forum could not function, could not survive, they are now saying that, after all, the forum can do something towards the development of the nation. And I think they are being convinced to join the forum.
Mr. Yeah. Eddie, you still believe in your parties?
We do.
You do.
But,
so how do you still pursue the bipartisan agenda? Because I know you will be happier if it's your party that is steering the boat.
Oh, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we are in opposition, you know, we help government a lot. I mean, every party in opposition.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unfortunate.
Sometimes that is not what we tend to see.
No, in this in African countries, you know, mm-hmm. this is what is happening. You know, without the opposition, or without, now we don't say opposition, we say minority.
Mm-hmm.
The government will always go astray.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the minority is a driving force to keep the government on the toes,
mm-hmm.
to do the right thing. And just as my president said about other former parliamentarians, we want to use this medium to appeal to all of them to come in droves to join so that we can help our motherland Ghana.
Yeah. So with this, you are working on that bipartisan issue.
Yeah. For sure, yeah.
So well.
Yes.
You don't have any challenge at all in trying to go together?
No, you see, don't mix individual opinion and views with the forum.
Okay.
You see, as individual, it will be impossible for us to think
alike.
And we have our individual idiosyncrasies and differences, but the forum has objectives, and on this we are all agreed that we should help the forum to pursue and succeed in implementing these objectives.
So how have you been going about this
minority in parliament, which has given the impression that they don't agree or something like that, I think that's a wrong perception.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Now, to some of us, the strength of any government, the strength of any nation in a democracy, depends on how active the opposition is.
Sure.
The day that opposition will become inactive, good governance will be in serious trouble. So it is the duty of opposition minority in every democracy to keep the government on its
toes. Yeah.
There are a lot of things government could have wished to do if the opposition were not there. You see? So there are some sort of watchdog, you know, not necessarily attack dogs. You know, they are a watchdog of democracy. And if the opposition has its view in parliament, so be it. Because we believe that the opposition must have its say.
And government has to listen.
Government
right?
has to listen.
Listen. Is right?
it? So it is not a dysfunctional
system to have all these things operating.
Government, we need a very strong, virile
minority
in parliament.
Yeah.
So you are you happy? Let's look at contemporary issues. Are you very happy when minority would decide to stay out of very pertinent issues just because you know about the concern, you know the court case, and everybody is saying from all sides that they are justified in even going to the courts? But for the action taking thereafter, how comfortable are you as a forum with it, not involved in vetting and maybe boycotting?
Can I come here?
Yes, Mr. Edu, if you can come in.
I was so pleased and happy when the opposition or minority stayed for the debate on the budget.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. I pat them on their shoulders for staying to debate the budget. Right, because that is going to, you know, do or undo the nation, right? But like not listening to staying for presidential address, or these are minor things, right?
But with vetting, it's not minor.
Oh, the vetting, I wouldn't defend. I'm not here to defend this thing. We are a forum, we are non-partisan.
Yeah.
We don't want to go into this. You know, we may look at some of these things and even advise, right? But if we try to be partisan, whatever we say will not be listened. So ours is to look at issues, national issues, come in and say, hey, even the president, we can call him to order. By saying so, we say, Mr. President, please, you can't do it this way. Why not that way? And this is what is, you know, not making us to progress. If we have, a group of people who are not singing, always singing the praises of government, things will change.
Yeah. You want those who keep the government on its toes. We are speaking to members of the forum of past parliamentarians. And they are helping us with their perspective. They may have their individual views though, but as a forum, they say they share common concerns. We'll come back to them very soon in the studio. That is Honorable Kwesi Kwedem and Mr. BDK Edu. But we want to move straight to the line and see exactly how your contribution can be patched into the national development effort. Dr. Evans Agridaku is a lecturer of political science at the University of Ghana, Legon. He's joined us on the line. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, and good evening to your listeners.
I know they've heard. How would you describe the effort being made by the forum to assist in national issues?
I think it's a very, very, very important development in our politics, our body politic. You realize that in any society, if the nation will really develop and endure, will be able to address the problems of society, one of the critical things that we must be interested in is the quality of participation of the citizens. The quality of participation, I would define it about citizens who really know what they are doing, who are well informed, and therefore are prepared to interact with the political system basically, and interact with the key actors of the state, key decision makers, policy makers, really in decision-making positions, and people who have actually been given the mandate to govern, so on and so forth, to be able to really do the right thing. And so when you have a forum of former MPs, they've been there, some of them were ministers, among others, who have seen it all, have participated in serious policy issues, issues that actually concern the development of this state. If they decided that come together in a non-partisan manner, and interrogate issues, intercede on behalf of all of us, if you like, call people to order where necessary, really participate effectively in the policy-making process. I think that in the process, we will have very enduring public policies and programs. And my interest really is a non-partisan approach. And that is something that we are not doing as a people. One of the things that we also need to know is that, look, If the people are afraid of government, there's going to be tyranny. Now, if the government is afraid of the people, there's going to be liberty. And so if we have a group which has indicated in clear and unambiguous terms that their interest basically is Ghana, and that they are very much interested in how we actually will formulate good public policies, how basically the nation will move forward, how we can address the problem, myriad of problems that confront us on a daily basis, and so on. I think it's a very useful and welcoming development that all of us must be proud of. And don't forget that because of their experiences, because of the rich experiences, I believe strongly that their contribution will be very rich in that regard, will be rich. And so when the contribution is rich, government will have no option but to listen to the suggestions and the contributions that they make. And for me, that is good to improve the public discourse so that we move away from what I would describe as a gutter politics that sometimes characterizes our public discourse. Yes.
Yeah, Dr. Agredaku,
I am.
You are talking about when they want to make contribution and they also try to at least let people know that they have something to offer. But how can we as a country tap into that rich store of knowledge that they've acquired over the years and make regular use of them instead of just waiting for them to come forward? If they've not come forward, then everything is going on as it will be.
Yes. We always argue that information is a power resource. And sometimes when a group is organized, sometimes we argue that public policies actually favor groups. But if the group is well organized in terms of leadership style, in terms of the quality of the members and so on and so forth, the group actually is well positioned to be able to, effectively participate in the decision making process. Once they begin to, gather, once they begin to group, once they begin to organize themselves, it will not be too difficult for people to tap into the expertise and experiences that they have. I believe that as individuals, people have been consulting them, I believe strongly, because people normally will consult people they think that have something to share, something out their sleeves to share. And once it is an organized group, Parliament consistently would need to tap into their expertise. And you realize when even bills come before Parliament, more often than not, the general public is invited to make contributions. But if you ask the MPs, sometimes the quality of contributions that we make is not the quality that we really would desire as a country. And so if you have people who have been there and constitute themselves the very potent force, it can be a very important even think tank for that matter. They can even be a resource that people can use in terms of orientation for some key areas, tap into the expertise that they have in terms of even legislation making and governance, and, that, myriad of issues that can actually confront this nation on a daily basis. Once they begin to group together, once they begin to organize themselves, it will be fairly easy for academics, for students, for policymakers, for even think tanks and people, researchers, tap into your expertise. When it's organized, you can reach them easily for purpose of research, among others.
Alice, from the indication they give us, they are organized. And we want to thank you very much for your input tonight.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Dr. Evans Agredaku is lecturer of political science, University of Ghana, Legon, making that input there. He stressed on one point and he kept on it. Mm. When the group is organized, then that is when people can start tapping into it.
Mm.
At least maybe in the media we will know there is a forum of former members of parliament. Mm. How organized are you? Such that people will know that this is a think tank of some sort. Let's go and tap into whatever they have for whatever is happening. And I know some of you have served right from consultative assembly days, so you have a lot of it. Let me come to you, Mr. Kwesi Kedem.
Yeah, to start with, I would say that we are on a very firm ground,
mm-hmm.
because this forum is fully supported by Parliament itself.
Yeah.
Parliament has given us accommodation to constitute our secretariat, and it also helps us to organize some of our program. So we are no strangers to Parliament itself. Now, as to the organization,
we are well organized to the extent that we offer expertise to Parliament when they are organizing orientation courses and things like that. And we ourselves, we have organized a series of public programs and debates to create awareness on parliamentary democracy. We've also organized some functions in some of these tertiary institutions, you know, to talk about good governance and then parliamentary democracy. In fact, our main objective is the sustenance of parliamentary democracy. Now, it is easy to build parliamentary democracy or democracy or whatever you call it, but how to sustain it is the biggest challenge. And we are quickly learning from lessons from, say, Mali, for instance.
Yeah.
Few years ago, Mali was a model democracy.
Stable.
And what has happened now? Now, most of us were witnesses to the military regimes in Ghana here. We are saying that we are not compromising on the democratic process. We are not going back to military regimes. So this forum is fastidious about sustaining parliamentary democracy. And it's one of our objectives to go ahead and then sustain the process. And I think Honorable Edu will agree that so far we have done a lot to in this direction.
So you keep talking about the fact that you are fastidious in getting it done.
Yes.
What do you see as a threat to this parliamentary democracy and its sustenance?
Well, you can come
You mean the threat.
Threat to democracy. What may be a threat?
Well, in everything, in every society, in every endeavor, there are threats, right? And the threat is, you know, now we have a problem in our democracy. The winner takes all. It's always said and said and has been said and said and said. And as we came and were conversing with my president, we were talking about, you know, even national government. You know, so maybe 4 years we all work together, you know, to get things done, right? So what now, you know, governments should look at is behavior, you know, attitudes and how they go about things, right? And this is where we come in. You know, we are a watchdogs. We shall be there for government, any government which will come, and then advising. Please, Mr. President, you can't do it this way. Right? We are not going to be sycophants. And that alone is something, you know. So we'll be watchdogs. And may I go back to commend, you know, to say bravo to the doctor who
Dr. Agri, who just spoke.
Mr. President, we may have to invite him one day to give us talks.
Yeah.
You see, so these are some of the things, you know, we have to stay focused, just as my president has said, and then get things done together. Right.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah. In addition to that, some of the challenges that democracy faces is that in a democracy, in our democracy, people are always talking about rights, workers' rights, children's rights, politicians' rights, women's rights. Nobody seems to be talking about duties and responsibilities. I think it's a big challenge to the democracy. Then again, let us ask ourselves, the type of government we are operating now, is it responsive? Is it equitable? Is it fair?
Yeah.
Honorable Edu just talked about this winner-take-all system we are operating, the electoral system we are operating. Is it fair? Is it responsive? Does it cater for women? Does it cater for marginalized groups? Does it cater for technocrats who who have the expertise, but they are afraid to go into politics. They don't want to be insulted. You know, are we making maximum use of them?
Yeah.
Is this system making maximum use of them? The answer to me is no.
No.
Yeah.
So can we look for an alternative electoral system which is more responsive, which is more equitable, which is fairer?
Yeah.
And some of us have come out about this idea of this proportional representation system. Specifically, the mixed proportional representation system, which caters for, you know, the needs of women, the minority, the technocrats, and all that. And it reduces or minimizes this winner-take-all. Yeah, this winner-take-all.
Because, you know, normally when you raise the winner-take-all, it appears like a party has won power, and you want that party to share that power. And some say that if you have a government that is being called, I don't want to use the UNIGOV, for instance, it appears that then you want the party in power to stay forever because then everybody is part of it, so why the need for change?
No, what you are saying is that, for instance, if the NDC comes to power,
and everybody is part of it.
Listen, if the NDC comes to power,
mm-hmm.
and we are looking for somebody who has the expertise in atomic or nuclear energy, and the person is a CPP or MPP, we should not be afraid to go for that person.
Yeah.
And that person too, he must be responsible enough not to sabotage government when he goes there.
Because people are afraid that how do I trust somebody?
So we must learn, we must change our mindset, our behavior. You see, we must remold it to conform to this responsive democratic system we are talking about. Government should be bold enough to go for people from other parties, you know, if they have the expertise. Those people who are from other parties who have been brought into the government should be responsible enough to be loyal to the program of the government.
That's
what you're saying.
You can incorporate it.
No,
you know, the phenomenon of foot soldiers, those who do not agree with appointments, even within the same party.
That is what is bringing this country back. Foot soldiers. They wouldn't let the right man to be put at a place to help develop our country. It's very sad enough. All right, just as you were saying, if a man is an atomic expert, being his political affiliation, he goes there, Obama came and he said, we should let institutions work, but not what is called politics. Look, a government comes and we have a very good leadership in one of the institutions. And because he says he belongs to this party, so he's pushed aside. And then they bring a square peg into a round hole. And then the institutions, dwindles.
Yeah.
All these doomsday and water problems, these are the causes. The right people were not put there, or those who were there who could do the work were taken out.
Occasionally, there may be force majeure.
And then we shouldn't let politics enter into all these organizations.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, the type of political system we have now allows for this sort of it shouldn't happen, but we have a system,
that permits it.
So what we are trying to say is that we must change the system.
That's why the forum
and the people must also change.
Must change their attitude.
The forum is going to help.
But in a final analysis, we are trying to say that the forum for former MPs has come to say.
Yeah.
Our main objective is to maintain and sustain good governance and parliamentary democracy, and we'll do everything possible to make this happen.
Well, we want to thank you very much and commend you for that effort. We'll be monitoring your progress, and every now and then, for some of the very good things still happening, we'll be highlighting them. You heard from Kwesi Kedem, the president, and Vice President VDK Edu, the forum of former members of parliament, talking to us there. The VDK Edu is indicating that there is something so burning, even because of our time. Let's keep it.
Oh, you see, all I want to say is to say thank you to you, and then we are appealing to the press.
Yeah.
Whatever we'll be able to do without the press, we won't get anywhere.
Collaboration of the media.
Collaboration of the media.
Once you say you are with parliament, at least they can get you there. Thank you so much for coming to you.
Thank you too.
Behind the news, before we go, some of your tests here. President Mama has done well by meeting Nat and Nagra to resolve their grievances. Napoleon from Tumu is saying so. And Kojoikin's Cape Coast, with time we shall be perfect in the way we handle issues that lead to crisis. And Mohammed Mumin Takradi, I'm appealing to the striking teachers to bear with the president and call off their strike. And Jarizama Yendi, government should please do the right thing for the teachers to move Ghana forward. And Opoku Nyinehin Chiragasu, some public officers are rewarded on earth, but when it comes to teachers, their reward is in heaven. I would rather have my reward on earth. And Napoleon Tumu, President Mama has done well. I think we have this already. And Razak Yindi, when we are thinking of becoming teachers, look at what government is doing to teachers. If this will continue, we will look at the other side of the coin. Remember, it is not a curse to be a teacher, but it's reaching conclusions. Find one in that case. I want to thank you all for being there. Franco Swanson was our sound man. And production team, Christopher Isiedu, Bright Agama, Phyllis Kofi Agatha Samwa, and John Pobi. Doreen Ampofo handled the summaries. My name is Kingsley of Interest.